Campaign 2000 just passed enters history as one of the most contentious ever. George W. Bush won, but he lost the popular vote by 500,000 ballots. In his speech later today, Mr. Bush has an opportunity to help appeal to a divided electorate, rallying his supporters along with that majority of voters who did not choose his ticket. The polls have identified some top concerns of Americans who have yet to cotton, as we say in Texas, to the incoming Bush administration. Andy Cohet heads the Pew Research Center, here to tell us more. Andy, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Now, of course, some Americans may just forever be resistant to George W. Bush for one reason or another. But who falls among those who maybe can be persuaded to be his fans?
Well, politics is the key here. Independents, more than Democrats, are likely to be convinced by Bush if Bush has the ability to convince people and get this country less divided than the polls suggest they are. And young independent women, younger people, the middle class doubters, and there are many of them. I mean, this is a more contentious public than we generally see. Democrats are opposing Bush at higher rates than Republicans were critical of Clinton in 92, or Democrats were critical of Bush in 89. Mm-hmm. And the big doubters are the feminists and the seculars and the environmentalist people who sense that their values aren't going to be well represented or their needs not represented. So Bush has to do well in the middle, and he has to try to convince people that he is, in fact, a uniter and not a divider.
Mm-hmm. He has a platform today, of course, an extraordinary platform. Mm-hmm. And what would you recommend that he might say, some phrases that he might strike that could begin to make that kind of difference?
Well, I think if he begins to talk in some specifics, inauguration addresses are not known for their specifics, but in some way, I think many people have looked at the rhetoric of compassion and compared it to the arguments we're having about Ashcroft and Gail Norton and wondering whether he means what he says. In some way, this speech has to say, hey, I really mean this. And the other thing he has to convince people of is that he's a good communicator. I mean, the real criticisms that we've seen in our poll, at least, is that he's getting very bad grades for presenting himself and presenting his policies compared to Clinton 8 years ago and even his father. I know Clinton's a tough act to follow. But Bush has to assert himself as a strong leader and someone who can speak to the American public and seem genuine and really want to unite the country, because that's what people want.
Mm-hmm. The Bush cabinet appointees so far have been demographically diverse. This, too, has been a cabinet that looks like America. Have they had some discernible effect in promoting a national unity?
Well, if anything, just the opposite. Even though most people say they like his cabinet choices, his rates of approval are lower than other presidents. And, you know, all of the action has been, all of the ink has been about Ashcroft, mm-hmm. and to a lesser extent Norton. And there the public is divided. And Ashcroft is a divisive signal, not a unifying one. And I think this has been problematic. But, you know, we shouldn't judge things about public opinion and Bush too early. This is very early in the game. Yeah. And judging presidents in January often says very little about how well the public is going to respond to them.
John F. Kennedy won a very closely contested election in 1960. Richard Nixon, we should note, won a very closely contested election in 1968 over Hubert Humphrey and George Wallace, only to be reelected by the largest majority of its time in 1972. What can a president do at this particular point to promote that kind of purpose, sense of purpose, and common national goals?
Well, they have to turn a phrase that resonates with people, that people will remember, that's evocative of what the president wants to achieve. John Kennedy's famous, ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country, and so on. Now, this is not this is not Bush's strong suit, but he has to get up there and somehow have a soundbite or some notion that people will take away and say, well, there's a hope that this is really going to make it. By and large, I don't think presidencies swing on inaugural speeches, but he needs every break he can to get the doubters on his side. And there are many people who are in the middle who want to see this work, and he has to appeal to their best side.
Okay. Andy, thank you very much. We're going to be talking with you during our live coverage of the inauguration later today. Elizabeth Arnold and I will be out there. And as George W. Bush, the governor of Texas, former governor now, takes the oath of office as the 43rd president of the United States. Andy Cohet heads the Pew Research Center. Talk to you later.
Thank you.